Thank you, 1 minute early.
I know.
I think he stays downstairs just.
Well, he probably has the room bug. He finds out what my over under is and what I pick, and then he comes in the school.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that'll happen.
So she's like an expert.
Oh my God.
Would you do that? I
think it's
just for
that. Right, so it wasn't that much fun.
What happened to the...
It just keeps going to sleep all the time.
I know, I got to keep going.
All right, we'll begin our meeting with a call to order. And are there any citizen comments? Citizen comments? Oh, go ahead. If you'd state your name, address.
Mary Kabila. Retired county clerk. I just wanted to address Chairman Rose and the members of the Finance Committee. You have a resolution before you tonight to appoint Reggie Petrosian to fulfill the remainder of my term. I highly recommend Reg as the appointee, and I would not have retired when I did if I did not have all the confidence in her that she could do the job and fulfill the duties, and the staff that we've developed in our office. I think going forward it's going to be a great team, and I would 100% support that and hope that you would tonight too. Thanks.
Thank you. Further citizen comments? All right, we'll move on then. I have no reports. Are there any committee reports? We have the minutes of November 14th, 19th,
oh, move.
December 3rd. Are there any additions, corrections, or otherwise discussion?
None that I saw.
You doing all three? You doing all three?
Doing all three or one?
I would do them all three unless you have some comments.
Yep. You got some reservations, Bob?
No.
You can't. We have some corrections. All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, very good. Calling the Corporation Council for the county clerk appointment.
Okay.
Yes? Joe.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. You have before you a resolution to approve the appointment for the Kenosha County clerk for the balance of the existing term by statute. Upon the vacancy, it is an appointment by the county board. Chairman Esposito made that appointment, and it is before you tonight for your review and hopefully approval. Obviously, the appointee is here if the committee wishes to address her. I don't think there's any question about her qualifications for the position, and we'll certainly join retired clerk Kubicki in asking for your support here in committee.
Move to approve.
Second. Good question.
Yeah.
Just for the record, that's not a county board chairman appointment, it's a county board approval appointment, right?
Yeah, that's why it has to go before.
Oh, but I'm just saying, he said it was a chairman's appointment. It's not a chairman.
I think what I said, it was appointed by the chair. It's a county board.
He's recommending it.
Yes, it's a county board appointment.
Yeah, he's recommending it. Okay, that's all.
Just looking at the resolution wording here. Okay, any other discussion? Any other discussion? Reggie, did you want to say something?
Could.
Well, I'm not pushing you to do it, but I didn't want to look.
I mean, you want the job.
Yeah. I did show up, right? Well, you guys have read the resolution, so you see that I have the experience, the most experience there in the office, and I'm looking forward to keeping our office going as smoothly as it has been, and we serve the community. We get a lot of really positive feedback from the community, and I think that's makes the county look good. And I hope that you guys appoint it. Approve it, and I can continue to serve the board along with the rest of the county.
Very good. Thank you. Any other discussion? All right. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, this is approved, and we'll circulate the resolution. The next item is a Parks Division resolution on a grant from the DNR. No?
No.
For now.
Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Yeah, which one do you agree?
We got number seven.
I'm sorry, I overlooked that. Highway Division. Yeah, Fox River.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. So I think everybody's aware that Highway W in late October, kind of as part of a routine inspection, we determined because the Fox River has been at or near flood stage for a protracted period of time, really since late August, it hasn't gone down, it started to aggressively take out the bank right along Highway W. And you can see in the little map that was prepared as part of the resolution, it's really that at the lower end there where it got to the point where it was taking out the embankment and the road itself started to drop as a result of the embankment getting eroded by the river. As soon as one of the guys on routine patrol picked up on it, and then we went out and inspected it and shut the road down immediately, October 28th. We then had the DNR come out, as well as one of our engineering consulting firms that we work with that knows this stretch of the river. In fact, just further south on W, in 2017, we did a similar kind of a repair to protect another part of the road that was being impacted by the river. We had them involved, and we had them take their time to really sort out what's kind of the best way to approach this as in the short term as well as the long term. We didn't want to come up with a temporary solution, something that would have to be torn out later. We wanted to get at least this section, which is about 90 feet long, repaired in a way that when it's done, it's done. And the repair solution that they came up with does that. It's very similar to the repair work that we did further south. The other part that they identified, though, in this, the section that needs immediate attention is about 90 feet. They identified that there's that red section that runs north there, about another 1,200 feet, that is at risk. It's not at risk now, but if things continue on the path that it appears they are from a rainfall standpoint and river elevation standpoint, we're going to need to keep our eye on it. But I believe we do have time, based on the engineering information they put together and provided us, that we've got time to develop a long-term strategy for that section of the river. So right now the resolution before you is to deal with the section that's most vulnerable that needs to be addressed in order to open the motorway back up for safe public transportation. That's the repair of the 90 feet. It's going to be a sheet piling type of a, which is where they drive metal, tongue and groove metal sheets down into the embankment to basically create a wall that's got a 75 plus year life. And that actually gets tied back in underneath without getting into too, you know how I geek out on this stuff, without getting into too much of that. Bottom line is it's a permanent repair. And that 90 foot section will be repaired in a way that we could then reopen the road. A couple things that are good from a timing standpoint, there are like three contractors that are in the area that have a presence that are involved in larger projects that are here, have been here for the past year, are going to be here in spring as well. So they still have crews mobilized in the area and they're picking away at these other jobs, their primary jobs. But because of their presence in the area, including the firm that did the repair just south of here 2 years ago, they're still in the area. They're actually a Twin Cities based contractor. We expect to be able to get some real good pricing on this given what it is, and it's work that they can actually do in the off season. It's work that they can do now. As long as we don't get buried with a ton of snow, this weather is conducive to them doing this kind of repair. So that's the reason that we're not asking that we just ram this through. We do want to get bids. Bid specs are being developed as we speak. They should be done no later than the end of the month, so that we can actually get this on the street. It would be a 2-week bid. We'd award it in February, ideally, and have them start the work no later than March 1st. So that's kind of the time frame that we're looking at. It would probably be, again, depending on weather, probably an 8-plus week repair. But as soon as it's repaired, we'd be able to open the road back up. We then would look in 21 to budget some money to study what the best long-term solution is for that other 1,200 feet. We don't want to rush into that because it isn't at risk at the moment. And there are some fairly creative ways that we could go about that that could have a wide range of costs. And we're looking at some that hopefully will be lower than what this approach is.
Discussion.
Yes, sir.
Through the chair to Ray, you're talking about increasing our bonding here?
Right,
by,
so
by 300,000.
So what we proposed is to do this as a bonded project. It's got a, I'm going to say a 75 plus year life, and so that in my understanding is that that's the most appropriate funding source to use for that kind of an asset.
At this time, I'd like to make an amendment to this to include, along with that 300,000 in bonding for W, 500,000 in bonding for the project that was deferred with the HVAC and the roof, because I think that now, with interest rates where they are now, and the time value of money, that now is the time to do that. So I would like to amend this this resolution here to increase our bonding to 800,000 and include what we deferred. We didn't cut, we deferred, which we're going to have to do anyway. So I would like to do that.
Appropriation Council, is this proper to change this resolution? Because it does change the intent of it here. I mean, it has to do with Fox River Bank. Is that, I mean, we can vote on the resolution, but just before we even do that, is it proper to amend?
Well, we're asking for bonding.
Well, did you look at the resolution? It talks about this particular problem and the cost, et cetera, and now we're going in an additional direction where there's no resolution.
If I could ask the chair to give me a moment, I can certainly look at the rules. I have an initial thought, but I don't want to speak out of turn. So,
and I don't want to rule it out of order if it's in order, but I don't want to just entertain it if it's out of order.
Can we talk about the resolution?
Sure. Yeah. Why don't we just talk about the 300,000 and the bonding?
Well, the question I have is that, I mean, do people have to go one way and then the other? They can't get through this area because the road is closed completely, right?
So this road is closed completely. I actually live about a half mile from here. Highway W is a major, a fairly significant.
I agree with that. I'm just wondering if people must go one way and then the other out, but they can't. What if you live right on it?
Right. There's only a handful of folks that live in this section that are affected by the closure.
Okay.
But in terms of it as a commuter route from basically the state line Antioch area and people going west typically up to Lake Geneva, Janesville, this is a kind of a major route. And those folks are typically taking W off of Highway 50 to JI and then having to jog over onto to Highway F without getting in there.
So how's this bonding going to work? Is there a separate resolution then or what?
So this resolution, as I understand it, the way it's constructed, it would authorize the expenditure of up to $300,000 for the repair, and that the funding source for the $300,000 would be bonded. And that's how the...
And how is that going to work? How are you going to bond it, spend it before you bond for it? How are you going to spend it? I'm trying to figure out.
So
you have existing highway funds, right?
We do.
Stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I understand there's another some substantial amount of money that's there for approving highways that were destroyed because of the Fox something, right? Correct?
I'm not sure what you're saying there. As far as, so,
Look, I'm trying to figure out how you're going to bond it. Out of the, you're going to have a resolution coming later to say we're going to bond $300,000?
This is the resolution
that's,
that would do.
That's going to authorize you to bond for it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, the budget modification.
So are we going to get a resolution back to, or is this going to be a complete thing, like just the bonding is going to be included so you can go ahead and bond right away?
Yeah, I believe the way it's structured with the budget modification form, it outlines exactly that this would provide the funding and the funding would come from bonding.
And the bonding is money that we borrowed already for other projects or what?
No,
The way that our borrowing works is it's authorized at the time,
and then
we issue the bonds in August.
Right.
We don't say we can't start a project until the bonds are issued. The county floats that cash and pays ourselves back when we borrow for a portion of it. So however much gets done before that. So this would be part of that. We have an initial resolution that we would that has already been approved by the board that we can draw this $300,000 off of. So it doesn't require another initial resolution.
So this, explain to me how that resolution that we passed and the funding that we approved fits this in.
This would be in addition to that. So this would be adding $300,000 to what was approved during the budget process.
So we're increasing the budget, overall budget.
Correct. The budget and the bonding for 2020 budget would be increased by $300,000.
All right. Okay.
And when we go out in August, it'll be what we had approved plus this $300,000.
I'm going to second Jeff's resolution, by the way.
Well, let's wait for Joe to respond to that.
He's got a second now, he can really talk about it.
Yeah, okay. Isn't there some money in your highway budget where you can pay for this?
So the highway budget is set up, and there are projects that are allocated. That money, we don't just have a pot of money that we kind of spend willy-nilly. There's projects that are defined for all those funds that are in the highway department budget. So that's how it's set up. That's why if we took this out of that pot, something else wouldn't get done that we plan on getting done.
Yes.
Does the money have to come, can it come from other areas of our budget, or does it have to come from the highway through bonding? You know, because every year it seems like, for the few years I've been here, whenever we have a project that needs to be done, it seems like we are able to find the money somehow. This isn't that large of a sum. Is there a way of moving something else around to come up with the $300,000?
So my response would be, if we wanted to defer this repair to late in the year, then we could potentially do something.
Right,
like
and
that.
I don't want to do that.
Because that's typically what happens, like when you're on Public Works, after we bid two or three projects and we were fortunate to have those come in under budget, we'd have some excess funds in that account that we'd reallocate.
Okay, so you're saying because this is early in the season, early in the budget season, we can't do that maneuvering.
Yeah, we really want to get this done now.
Historically, don't you always have extra money?
I mean,
there's always an annual, for some time, surplus.
We always strive to be under budget. Yes, that is true. But if we start out in January and we start to take the approach that we're going to kind of take it out of the left pocket and use it in the right pocket in January, to me that's not a prudent way to go about this. This is a significant repair, unplanned for. I mean, it came up when we first came up, October 28th, we were already knee deep. That was the week we were doing budget stuff. And that's when we first discovered the situation. So if this had happened in July of last year, we would have been able to work it into the budget and done it then. But timing-wise, that just wasn't how it worked out.
Yeah. Well, with what Terry said about having extra money, could we use the money from the surplus, and if there was extra money, it just goes back or we don't take it? I mean, there is money out there that we, right? Or is
that crazy? The finance folks.
My concern is this. We have had, in the past, many years where there were surpluses. Bids came in under what we had budgeted, and there was a surplus in this project that was later allocated to another project that was an unexpected thing. Over the past year, maybe even 2 years, I've not seen that happening. I've seen bids coming in over budget because there's such a demand for the things that are going on.
You know, if I said
the
word surplus, I meant reserves. What about that? I mean, I'm just looking for an alternative just for the sake of argument.
My concern with drawing on reserves this mm-hmm. early in the year is we have no idea where they're going to be for 2020. And quite frankly, the things that have built up our general fund reserves over the past few years, tax delinquencies, are flat. Interest rates are not as high as they were, so we're not seeing surpluses in earnings now. We're seeing less. Because tax delinquencies are flat, we're not seeing interest on tax delinquencies and penalties on tax delinquencies to the amounts that we had seen in the past. Our sales tax revenue, when we put together the budget for 20, we increased that considerably. We're very close to, we usually are budgeting more conservatively. We didn't have as much flexibility to be conservative with this budget because of all of the demands on the operating budget. So my concern is, if you look at this year's general fund report, there's a surplus in sales tax revenue. We will not see that in 20. We may see a small surplus, and I'm hoping we see a small surplus.
What does small mean? Can you
small
give me a number?
A couple $100,000. But at the same time, if there's an economic change, people talk recession, don't know what's going to happen. We never know what's going to happen. The first thing that will go down is our sales tax revenue, because people stop spending money, discretionary money. Okay. They hold back and they pay what they have to pay.
So you learned of this in October?
October, yeah, the last week in October, because we shut the road down October 28th.
So again, why wasn't it in the budget when we voted on it in November?
Because October 28th, that week, you guys were already knee-deep into the analysis. So
I mean,
it couldn't,
not complicated.
Well, we wouldn't have had the engineering work done. The engineering wasn't completed. If we find out about it October 27th, you then get, you marshal the resources to really investigate what's needed to address it. That took us about 6 weeks, because the first push of information that we got from the engineering firm had temporary solutions in it. We weren't interested in doing anything temporary that we were going to have to tear out and redo at some point. So we wanted to come up with a cost-effective permanent solution, and that's what this is, so we don't have to redo the work.
But John?
Yeah, I live about 6 miles from there, so I drove out there today and tried to get closer to see it, but of course the road was blocked off, and it was blocked off for quite a distance, more than I wanted to walk in the weather today there. So
you've probably got frostbite.
Yeah. But I've heard that, you know, it's because this is like a peninsula there that was it discussed in Public Works of maybe cutting off peninsula to change the river flow there?
So that actually, when we got the DNR involved, surprisingly, shockingly, the DNR actually brought that up as a potential consideration. Our engineering consultant kind of were like, okay, holy cow, you never heard a DNR guy say that. But that's actually one of the concepts we want to investigate for it, so we don't have to do this same thing to the rest of that 1,200 feet. We want to investigate what it would take to actually change the route of the river. And it's a pretty wild concept, but when the DNR guy brings it up, we're going to investigate it, because usually that's going to be the biggest hurdle to entertaining an option like that. So.
And I believe, you know, like Supervisor Wambolt and some others have said, you know, as we get further on in the year, I'm sure that some of the other projects maybe it won't use all our funded amounts, and we might be able to cover that then. This one.
It's totally possible. Totally possible.
So when, all right, assume that we pass this tonight, bonding sales August, September. Mm-hmm. When are you going to do the work?
Now. Just like we do with any other thing.
So I'm worried
bonding,
the money coming
bonding
from.
Comes
what
in.
What compartment is it coming
from? Well, bonding comes in August.
Yeah,
we start
that.
All of our projects in January, right. Every yeah. year.
But they're so bonded for that. They're in the budget. Where's this going to be?
All the bonded projects. All the bonded projects mm-hmm. that we don't actually get the bonded
coming
money. We don't go out to market until August. We start those projects in January.
Right.
Every year. And we fund them out of cash flow, as Patty explained. And then we repay ourselves when that bonding money comes back in. We're fortunate enough that we have the cash flow, so we can float that for that period of time and take advantage of the bonding process that we put in place later in the year.
John?
The reason you want to bond it is because it's really a long-term project.
If the life of the project, you know, again, if you look up the kind of the textbook definition of
this,
this fits
this
that textbook. It's a 75-plus-year life this repair should have. So
what are you looking at, bonding? 10 years, 20 years? What?
Bonding would be 20 years.
Yeah. This makes sense.
This passed Public Works, right? Unanimously,
yeah.
That is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, as does all bonding at this point in time. That's why I'm trying to include that. So, I mean, if I cannot include that, I will not support this. because I think that right now we're making a resolution to include our bonding. I understand what's written down and what we're voting on, but we're also basically just saying we're going to go out for $300,000 more of bonding. And so that's why I feel that I was in the right to make that amendment. But if I'm not, then I'm going to vote, I'm not going to support this. Because then everybody who's saying we shouldn't bond will have to explain to me why we should bond for this and not something that we could have a problem. And I heard that they at Public Works said that there could be a problem with that roof and the HVAC prior to. So we're going to end up spending more money on that by that deferral. So this is the opportune time, since we're sending bonding back in, to include the other rather than deferring it. So that, it's crystal clear to me. And if we're not going to allow that, then I'm going to vote against this. And if you'll remember, there were a number of people who wanted that bonding put back when I did it on the floor, and you're going to need two-thirds. So as this committee was strong-armed to eliminate the bonding, we'll have to see what happens on the board floor.
Okay, other committee discussion on this issue?
I think he's ready.
Yeah, are you, Joe?
I am, and I'm sorry that I got to deliver this after Supervisor Gantz's comments. I have two concerns with the amendment that's being made. They're both relatively technical concerns, but I don't think that makes them any less valid. The first is a question of whether or not this is appropriate under open meeting law. There wasn't any notice that this particular issue was going to come up. There was no advance ability for the public to know that this question was going to be before it. So I have some concerns on that grounds. Secondly, in the absence of a specific rule in our county board rules, we defer to Robert's rules of order. Robert's rule of order is clear that an amendment has to be germane to the proposal or motion that's being amended. I'm hard-pressed personally, ultimately I think it's the chair's call, but I'm hard-pressed to see how this is directly germane to the proposal before the committee tonight.
Well, it's an increase in bonding.
Well, I'm based upon what he says. I'm not going to entertain the motion. If the committee wants to overrule me, that's up to you.
I'll make a motion to defer this until our next meeting so that we can have that on the agenda with it.
You want to defer the resolution?
Yep, I do.
Before us?
Yep, I do.
And there was a second from
yep.
John?
I can't move to defer this. I think
all right.
That... I'm on the floor.
Right.
Okay. This has to get done. Okay.
Right.
Put it off two more weeks. You're not going to get it done. We got a highway out there that's closed down. People are being to have to go one way or the other to get to where the hell they want to go. This is something that has to be done now. So we can we can maybe come in with a resolution on what Jeff is talking about. But I think this has to get done now. And I'm not going to vote for any deferrals.
Okay. Further discussion on deferral.
Yeah. I think the Public Works Department chairman said it's best where it needs to get done now. There's contractors in the area, so we're going to hopefully realize some savings from that. I don't want to defer this any further. I understand what Supervisor Gantz is saying, but we'll come back with another resolution to include that $500,000 at a different time. But I want to get this done tonight. Thank you.
All right, on the deferral, anybody else? Joe?
Is there, would the chair entertain a meeting before the county board meeting of this committee to have it modified so that both are included?
Well, I think that's up to the committee. I'm not just going to.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm going to.
The committee wants to do that.
Well,
yes.
I'll withdraw my motion to defer and make a motion to have a special meeting prior to our next county board meeting with this on it, along with an increase of the $500,000. In my mind, it's crystal clear. We're increasing bonding. Now is the time to do it. If you guys think that they're going to come back with a resolution to increase that later, that's not going to happen. So we need, while we're increasing bonding, both things are pertinent now because we're increasing bonding. So that's my motion.
I think that motion is not the order because
You didn't make a motion. You just said you were going to withdraw your motion.
And then I said I'm going to make a motion
later.
To have
well,
a...
You can do that. You can do whatever you please. But do you want to withdraw your motion?
Yes.
To...
Yes.
A defer?
Yes.
And the person who made the second, you agree? So the only resolution on the floor right now is the bonding resolution for $300,000.
I move to approve it.
I'll second.
All right, is there a discussion on that?
Can I make an amendment?
You can do what you
please. Okay, thank you, sir.
Vote on it.
All right, I will make an amendment to include $500,000 in bonding written up by finance and the corporation council along with this bonding, and that we meet before the county board meeting to take that up so that it, all our bonding is included.
That's basically
that's my
motion to defer. All right, is there a second on that?
Second.
Is there? You did, John? Discussion?
Are we voting now? What are we voting on now?
It's a motion to defer dressed up.
It's a motion to move it until it doesn't delay anything. It's just moving it till before the county board meeting. So, I mean, all I'm doing is adding the both bonding in.
That's provided we can all make it on whatever night that's going to be.
Well, it's a Tuesday.
You can vote on the resolution, his motion to defer it. If you don't like it, vote against it. You like it?
Somebody explain to me what we're voting on here.
Okay. The motion essentially is to defer the two issues in one resolution. You heard what the Corporation Council said about it being germane, and right now there's no resolution on that to rule on, but he's basically saying let's take it up before the county board at a special meeting.
And
if you're in favor of that, vote yes. If you don't like it, no. So why don't we just move
on? Take a roll call.
Jeff?
I have a point of order.
Go ahead.
I don't
what
want
it, what is it
my point of order is that I'm not asking for what this one resolution to come back. I'm asking for there to be language that includes the other bonding with this bonding.
Yeah, that's what I
okay, well, you made it out like he's just saying it's not germane and we shouldn't do it, and I'm explaining why I think we should.
Well, we'll
okay,
aye. You draw it up and then we'll rule.
Okay,
aye.
No.
Aye.
No.
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 No. Failed. So the resolution before you is as stands. Further discussion? Not. Let's vote on the
roll call, please.
Jeff?
No.
Aye.
Passed. All right, let's move on.
Thank you.
Just one point of order. We're talking about the budget. If I can just say this, maybe it's that. If you look at our year-end report now, you'll see that our reserves have gone from 30%, over 30% for the start of the year. And right now, at the end of the year, we're down to 28.34. You know what that is? It's because we're not budgeting enough to run this county. And that's all I have to say. And next year, when that resolution comes through to do the recommendations of the county executive, I'm gonna fight it again, okay?
All right, we look forward to hearing from you. All right, let's move on here to Parks. Go ahead.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Got a few resolutions in front of you, so we'll take those once at a time, and hopefully most of you have been part of this committee in the past, that any time that we apply for grants, more specifically with the DNR, they ask for permission first before we even apply for that specific grant. This one in front of you this evening is for our Pike River efforts with the restoration within Petrifying Springs Park. We've been very successful with phase one, and now our eyes are on phase two with this river restoration. So we have a lot of irons in the fire, trying to get a lot of grants to help offset any kind of county bonded debt for this major project. And through the DNR, we are asking for $50,000 in grant money for this project. There is a match that we already have through a different grant source, the Fund for Lake Michigan. So again, this is just to ask for permission to apply for this grant.
All right.
Motion approved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Very good. We'll circulate the resolution, and then your next one is Park Development.
That's correct. So just as I said, with the grants that we're going after within the Pike River, that kind of dovetails to the resolution in front of you. Back last year in 2019, Kenosha County did receive approximately $1.3 million through ATC funds as part of the Foxconn project. These ATC funds do have stipulations that they should be used for park development capital projects. So with this $1.3 million that the county received from ATC, some of that did go already within the 2020 budget that was approved by the county board. So within this resolution, it does state that it was $340,000 was approved by the county board to go towards two Pike River development projects. So that was off the plate from the existing $1.3 million. So in front of you this evening, the remainder balance is $961,000 and some change. The resolution is asking for your approval this evening to take a chunk of that $900,000 and again have county funds of $500,000 to go towards Pike River restoration project, that phase two that I just spoke of with the previous grant. A lot of these grants are highly competitive. The phase two Pike River projects of approximately $1.6 million. So the use of the $500,000 within this resolution, the ATC funds, would help us be a little bit more competitive when we write these grants, which would be about 30% match when we're going after this project. So it's still a great deal for Kenosha County, 30% versus the total project cost. The remainder balance of that $961,000 would also go into parkland development funds, just as we've done with any DNR stewardship grants, Pike River grants. Anytime we write these, it's always good to have that match built into it, and that's what we utilize the parkland development funds for. So this resolution in front of you this evening is to transfer the remainder of those funds into our development fund for park use.
All right, had a discussion? Your motion?
Second.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, say aye. Matt, we don't have this on the agenda, but why don't you, as the Finance Committee, report to the committee about the Kemper Center shoreline. Mm-hmm. I think it would be an appropriate time to discuss it.
Yeah.
All right.
What's that? Unless you want it this evening, I can give you
I know it would be appropriate, but I knew
were just scolded on all the meetings by our corporation council.
You can plug the corp council's ears, will be okay.
We'd like to hear, but he says no. It's obscene, so.
Obscene?
Joe's here.
Wow.
All right.
It's a little strong here.
Migratory birds.
And this is a very contentious one before you this evening.
Birds of a feather.
I know that I think John Rudy used to be called Birdman when he brought this resolution in front of everyone. So I got this down to an every other year resolution, but still, in order to receive our Bird City status for Kenosha County, we have to put forth a resolution to recognize International Migratory Bird Day. So in front of you, this is just another resolution. This Bird City status is good for our county to have this. It's good for the economy. It gets a lot of tourism within the area, so I still think it's worthwhile to put forth this resolution in front of you. So looking for your approval.
All right, is there a motion?
Is this all migratory birds?
All my.
All of them?
Every single one.
You know, the geese are confused. They haven't flown south yet.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, good either.
So are they included?
Today they will.
I'll talk to them tomorrow.
Right. I just want to be clear. I don't want to discriminate against any birds.
I think they're hybrid. I don't know. I think they pick and choose.
I'll move to approve, Mr. Chairman.
All right, is there a second?
Bird watchers in those cars.
Second.
Discussion? All right, all those in grace.
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
You were a politician in a past life.
All right, that completes your agenda. Thank you. And the Corporation Council has the ordinances regarding tax deeded property tax.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. At the direction of the committee, looking at an ordinance to allow one whose tax property is tax deeded under certain circumstances to come back to the county board and ask for redemption post-tax deed. I drafted a number of different versions of an ordinance that could be adopted, and they were all based roughly on the original ordinance, which existed in the 1990s, ultimately was repealed in 1993, but they continued to add a few different provisions. And I think just for clarity of discussion, I'd like to hand out, there's two copies here, and if everyone just wants to take one and pass them down, and if you don't have one, let me know. I've got a few extras here. But what's being handed down are two versions of an ordinance that could be adopted with just one difference. All of these provisions in this ordinance were included in what you had earlier, what was given to you earlier. The only difference between the two versions that I just handed out are one of them allows for this remedy of getting your property back after a tax deed by action of the board, only if the property is not taken in rem. If the property is taken by the in rem process, which is a court foreclosure action where there's an additional layer, I suppose, of notice and ultimately due process through the court, and the court orders the tax deed in the end. If you don't want this remedy available in that scenario, then you could adopt the ordinance, which has sub E, which is this is not applying to tax deeded lands which have been taken in rem. That will not affect either case that you've heard about, Mr. Simmers or Mr. Prill, because neither of those properties were taken in rem. They were taken by a regular tax deed. But I just, obviously it's up to the committee what policy you want to have, whether you want to allow this ordinance, and that's really what's before the body tonight. The issue of whether to allow the redemption in a specific case, or the remedy, I should say, in a specific case, such as Mr. Simmers, such as Mr. Prill, that would have to occur by a separate resolution before the county board if this ordinance passes. But if I can just highlight what the ordinance says, I would like to do that now. What this would allow is that after a tax deed is recorded by the county, which happens through the clerk's office in the final analysis, the county board at its option and by authority of the ordinance can then give preference to a former owner to or the heirs of a former owner to have this remedy to get their property back after the tax delinquency occurs and the tax deed occurs. The second part of this is that the option would have to be exercised by the person who owned it, the former owner, or their heirs, by written request to the clerk within 30 days on which the deed is recorded to the county. That's something you could change, but I think it gives enough time to exercise this option. The exercise would require that once the tax deed is offered by the county board, the requesting party would then have to tender to the county all of the taxes due, the interest, the special assessments, and charges and penalties levied due and owing, plus the actual costs as determined by the county clerk, which is inclusive of publication fees, recording fees, work time, and a number of other costs which are listed. And then after the county board would approve the rescission or the rescinding of the tax deed, the payment would have to be made in full within 10 county business work days to exercise this remedy. This would obviate the need to proceed under Chapter 7569, which is the public auction, which is the way we always dispose of tax deeded property that we're going to sell rather than just keep, such as a vacant piece of floodplain property. Or for some, if something we keep for some other purpose, we always go through a public auction, so this would obviate the need for that. Again, the question is whether you want to have sub E and have this not apply to lands taken in rem. Again, here's the thing about that. If we take the deed in rem, there's going to be this additional layer of due process because it goes to the court and it's going to be in front of a judge, and the person's going to have an opportunity to plead their case, so to speak, to the judge. So having this allowed even with an in-rem taking is going to be in a way allowing an overruling, as it were, of that decision of the judge to grant the foreclosure. On the other side of it, in terms of allowing it to be done even in-rem, the problem is some people just ignore notices, and that's what happens to get them into this spot of having a tax deed taken. They've ignored the tax certificates. They've ignored the bills that come for whatever reason. Some people may ignore the notice of a court date, that they can come to court and they can have their cause heard. If they ignore that, and what often kicks in here is when they get the eviction notice, because they don't vacate the property after the tax deed is taken, if that's what happens, even after an in-rem taking, there are going to be some folks that might want to avail themselves of this remedy. So I understand that, and if this body and the county board ultimately wants to allow that even after an in-rem, that's an option you have in fashioning this ordinance. But again, one way of looking at it is that there's additional protections and due process rights at a court hearing, and if the person, ignores the court notice, do you want to allow this remedy or not? Moving on to the next one, this is just statutory. If there's an improvement made or a agreement to dedicate to public use by a municipality, some kind of an agreement where we're going to be donating it, or something's done in the interim between the 30 days of the taking, that shouldn't be eligible under the statute and under this ordinance. I think that's pretty non-negotiable because it's statutory. I put in that this applies only to homestead property. I think the chair brought up, I think at the county board level that, do we want to offer this to developers who, because of the economy, things go flat and want to somehow exercise this remedy, or do we just want to limit it to homeowners and homesteads? So I left that in there, but again, that's something you could remove. No former owner should be eligible for under the ordinance if they had any mortgages, tax liens, judgments, or encumbrances at the time of the taking, unless there's some proof in writing that those mortgages, liens, or judgments have been either reinstated or satisfied during the 30-day period from the date of the written request until the tax deed gets rescinded. That's important. That was what was amended about the old ordinance, because by operation of law, when you take a tax deed, it washes away mortgages and judgments and liens. So that's an attempt to avoid manipulation by someone to just, I'm not going to pay my taxes, I'm going to get in this position so that my mortgage goes away, and then I'm going to redeem it free of mortgage and encumbrances and liens. That just seems unfair. So that's why that was amended, and that's why I think if you're going to adopt such an ordinance, that provision ought to be in there. And then finally, again, this is discretionary, as much of this is. An individual or his or her heirs may exercise this option once only. If they fall delinquent again and this happens again, the person or their heirs will be denied summarily. That's just because maybe you want to limit this to one time for an individual or a particular parcel. So those are the things that I put in the ordinance, and obviously you would shape what that ordinance would read.
Yeah, I would move to approve the non-REM version.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. And then on my motion, just to be clear, I asked you prior to the meeting, this would allow us to come forth with a resolution, and it is your intent to do that so that the two people that we discussed prior to this will be grandfathered and taken care of in this, correct?
If this ordinance is adopted, it gives us a vehicle by which to return those properties by board action. I do want to say Attorney Gartner is here from the village of Bristol. He did ask if he could just briefly make a statement. It deals with really more with Mr. Simmer's situation and the condition of the home, which is something that would probably be more pertinent to the actual issue of whether to give this remedy to him. But it is something that another thing that I want to mention. If a home isn't deemed habitable, if there's some issue with its safeness and the county owns it, what responsibility does the county have? What liability does the county have while that person's living in it? in that state, and while we own it. And I don't know if the court, if the board, if the committee wants to hear from Attorney Gartner, but he did want to speak briefly on that.
I'd like to hear from him.
Well, go ahead. Is this pertinent to this?
Well, I think
he's going to need to talk at the resolution, not this.
It's pertinent only insofar as if you want to consider also a provision in here about habitability and condition of the property.
Yeah, you would ask whether or not the two people would get their property back. I think that is one of the questions that he's going to address, correct?
All right, go ahead. Mr. Chair, committee members, I'm Tom Gartner. I'm up counsel with Michael Best in Milwaukee. Here to represent the village of Bristol. Randy Kirkman, the village administrator, had a conflict tonight, so he couldn't come.
Can you speak up, please?
Yes, sorry. And with respect to the ordinance, that's a policy decision for the county board. The one comment I would make on that is that with respect to Mr. Simmers, the issue is not just getting the property back to him, but making sure that he's living in a safe condition, whether it's at this property or somewhere else. And the one thing I did notice in the ordinance was the requirement to completely reimburse the county for all outstanding taxes and expenses. And in the case of Mr. Simmers, the village was finally able to do an inspection. I've not personally looked at the property, but Mr. Kirkman indicated that it's very likely that it needs to be demolished, which would mean that if the property were returned, in addition to the back taxes and the fees, there would be demolition costs, and all of those costs would be added into the cost to redo that home, either through completely rebuilding a new home or repairing the existing home. And again, I don't believe that this existing home is in a condition that can be repaired. Yes, excuse me.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
If the village is now determined, I guess you've determined that it's not inhabitable, have you?
The village was finally able to get in and do an inspection. they have taken photographs that I have one set of copies here
no,
I can share.
I want to follow up that with a question for you. Was the outside of the building inspected by the village?
The inside of the building.
How about the outside? But why did, if the house is so bad, why didn't the village go out and inspect the house to begin with?
They had to go to court to get the right to inspect.
So they went to court to get that?
Yes.
Right.
That's my understanding.
We got problems in the city the same way, and houses that should be condemned aren't. I had one next door to me, so I got to belabor it, but, and it took forever for me to get that thing condemned, okay? So the village has been lax from my perspective and not following up. And I don't know if you're doing this through your whole village or something, but I'm after the city to get there, because the whole city has houses that should be demolished or torn down.
And part of the problem is that to go through that process and to get a demolition order is very time consuming and very expensive.
And that's why the towns and the villages and the city aren't doing it.
So there is a raise order?
There is not a raise order. The village has not proceeded by issuing orders at this point because, again, they're just getting into the process and because the property is owned by the county. I'd anticipate that they will proceed within the next few days with issuance of orders and seeking a raise order if we can't work through other solutions to the problem. I mean, I think the real objective of everyone here is, at least in the case of Mr. Simmers, is to make sure he's living in safe and appropriate conditions. But the other concern of the village is that if the county simply says, we're going to adopt this ordinance and authorize returning the property to him, that doesn't solve any of the problems. And it really puts all of the problems and all of the onus back onto the village of Bristol. So hopefully everyone would be able to work together, if this ordinance is adopted, to come up with the best solution, and a solution that really addresses the problem, not just getting the property back to Mr. Simmers.
One other point, and then personally, I want to go ahead with the resolution, because I think it should be in place for future, and whether this one gets approved or the other one gets approved, at least we have a resolution to solve that. Because what's basically happening is the people that are losing their houses are ones that don't have mortgages. If you have a mortgage, the mortgage company is not going to let it go. So it's usually a guy that, or a person that has no mortgage. And if you check your record, you'll find that's a pretty steady thing. So I think we got to do this resolution. I agree with the motion that I seconded. The in rem should not be in there. But I think we got to go ahead with the resolution anyway. Then we can take each parcel individually and then decide on them individually.
So. Just when we bring this to the board, we have to be clear. Is this property not going back to Mr. Sims?
Well,
unless the taxes are paid, our costs are paid, and the property is, what I'm hearing, is rehabilitated.
No.
Is that correct?
If you're asking me, yeah. I think this evening you're just adopting an ordinance.
I understand that. But
and then the process would have to, yeah, to begin to resolve the situations with respect to the two property owners.
Well, I think the board would want the answer yes or no, is the property going. That's how this whole thing came up. Otherwise, we wouldn't even have this ordinance in front of us. It wouldn't have been a problem. The problem came up because these two people said they want their properties back because they are now ready to pay taxes in full. If you're saying the property has been condemned, not possible, who pays the... So we're back in the same situation. Paying the taxes doesn't solve the problem unless the property is rehabilitated. Who pays for that?
But I think we're in a position to pass this, to at least have that option for the county board to take each property, if this happens, each property owner, because we have another one that we're aware of. So I think this is the key, is to pass this, and then when his resolution comes up, we'll discuss this part of it as a separate, you know, but the resolution itself, I think it's a good resolution.
Yeah, what do you think?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, tonight we're deciding whether this remedy should be made available by ordinance. The issue of whether it's going to ultimately work in Mr. Simmer's case is a complicated one, but in the end it's going to be between the village and Mr. Simmer's to make sure that it's a habitable place for him to live legally. I know that the veterans group, including the county veterans group, is interested in helping Mr. Simmer's. I've had some conversations about that. There are resources that are available monetarily as well as possibly even labor-wise to assist him, whether it be a complete raise and rebuild or some way of salvaging part of it. But that's kind of out of our hands. But obviously that type of a remedy, and also alternate housing pending, you know, where he could live somewhere while they're working on his home. All of that, you know, it's going to be dependent on whether we pass this or not, that could possibly happen. It's hard for me to predict how it's going to work out in the end.
Further discussion, Jen?
Well, I talked to Mr. Sims before the meeting and asked him, I said, well, do you want the house back since, you know, it's obviously not in habitable condition? And he's still working towards that. He is trying to get a contractor now to give him some estimates there because he is... had offers from other areas, you know, to help fund any corrections there, and he is still up for it.
Further discussion, Jeff?
Yes, I mean, the way I look at this in a timeline, correct me if through the chair of Corporation Council, the way I look at this is we need to pass this before anything happens. So once we pass this, then you need to create a resolution for these two, to allow these two properties to go. Then we can have this discussion on what happens at that point in time, correct?
Right. The idea of them getting it back without this ordinance is not a legal process. So
right.
This has to be precedential.
Okay. So really we need to do this. Then you need to create a resolution so that we can allow them to get their things back if that's where it goes, whether it does or it doesn't. But you're also not going to push to have them evicted until this whole matter is done, correct?
The eviction is currently on hold, or
okay,
it's deferred.
So, I mean, as long as we're not pushing that till we get this, all the avenues explored and see where this is going to go.
I'm operating on the committee's wishes and the board's wishes, which were to hold off on the eviction.
Okay, on both of the evictions until we get
some
something in place.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's just to get the timeline right and everybody on the same page of what we need to do to move forward. Thank you.
Right. And any vote, I'm just asking, whatever you're the body here, whatever you decide in terms of the contents of this ordinance, the two I gave you, you know, one on the top has, it's not available on in-rem takings. Again, that won't affect either Simmers or Prill. The other one says even with an in-rem taking, you're going to allow this remedy. So that's what, or some other iteration that you guys come up with, because you're the ones.
But Jeff already made a motion to do it without in-rem, so,
right, yeah.
And I seconded it.
Right.
And
well, moving forward now, the court system is going to be deciding who bought the properties and then with the REM process, correct?
I believe that going forward, the intent of the county is likely to proceed mostly in REM, with the exception of perhaps certain floodplain properties that we're going to hold on to, right, or other exceptional circumstances. I think the bulk of the tax deeding will be done in REM from here going forward.
So if we do the in REM process, then I think the ordinance that we pass should be dovetailed with the in-rem solution, is what I'm saying. So if we're going to go REM one way at the courts and then we're going to go out of REM in a different way, I don't think that's counterproductive.
So resolution before you passed tonight, if you've made your motion, does not apply to
it. It does not have in-rem, and I seconded it.
Correct. All right, further discussion, John?
I agree with Supervisor Kubicki. I think we need to leave that in there about the in-rem.
I think that's the way to go.
So that means...
Am I right? Or what?
Well, you're saying that even when it's taken in-rem, this remedy should be available?
No.
Okay.
No, so absolutely
that's
not.
What I thought.
That's
you want it as you wrote it.
Well, that's what
with sub-E.
Yeah, I want it to be... If it's taken, it's done.
That is what the motion...
The motion on the
floor
is no.
That's why...
No, I thought it was the other way around.
Yes.
That's what
I thought so, too.
Is without sub-E. That is what...
Because I'm getting confused.
We're saying we want sub-E.
Understood.
Okay.
But as long as everyone understands what they're talking about and what they're voting on, the motion that was moved and seconded does not have sub E. So it would apply to properties regardless of how they are taken, whether it's in REM or not in REM.
Right. So it covers both cases. But it also, from what I understood in my brief conversation with you, if these came up later and it was in REM, we wouldn't have the control to do anything. Right?
If you pass the ordinance without sub E, yes, you would.
Right, that's why I wanted to do it that way, right? That's what the motion I made. Right?
It means that, in effect, you can review it post-court.
Right, right.
That's what, right, without sub E.
And basically reverse the court decision.
No, the court hasn't seen it yet.
No, the court
no,
has
the
seen
court
it.
Has seen it, and then you reverse what the court
right.
So in other words, mm-hmm, it's going to REM, they're gonna, and we have the opportunity to make a final say on it.
The way a tax deed is taken in REM is it's a judgment from the court.
Okay.
So by taking out sub E, you are saying that even notwithstanding the court process having gone completely through to a judgment by the court, you're still going to allow a review by the county board to return a property or allow redemption post the court judgment.
Okay, now that he explained that, the ordinance I want is takes us out of it and leaves the court in it, and that's the ordinance I want. So whatever that is,
which one is that?
That's what I want.
That's not the motion before.
So you want E? That's what you're saying. You want E left in?
Yep.
Whatever the court decides, that's what I'm going with.
Yeah.
I'm letting the court decide. I'm not going
to
decide.
The motion is to delete. The E is out. You can review it.
Okay.
Anyway, it's
question then to Supervisor Gens. So what is your reason again for wanting that out? I'm trying to wrap my head around.
Well, I spoke with the Corporation Council prior to, and he said that if we take it out, then we don't have the ability to later to go back and help some people we may want to help. Okay? Now, it could be grandfathered with the two that we already have, but if we do the in-rem one, we are going to be taken out. We don't, because you would take out the piece that allows us to look at it. So they would never have any way to come before us and get any help.
They go before the court, correct?
Yeah. Right. Remember, those folks, neither Simmons nor Prill went to the court. It was not done in-rem.
Thank you.
And so what I mean is, yes, you could If you leave sub E in, then after it goes through the court judgment, through the process, it would not be reviewable by the county board, okay? However, if for some reason it was taken the way their properties were taken without the court safeguards and due process, it could be reviewed, if that makes sense.
So let me ask you this. Do we have any definite time of when it's going to go to NREM? Or are we, you know, are we saying that this is, I mean, what if it doesn't go that way for a couple of years and nobody will be able to get any help? Is that what I'm hearing?
No. The plan is to use NREM going forward, okay. Like now. We have a stack of some tax deed eligible properties. We're going to use the NREM process.
So let me ask, through the chair to you, what would be your recommendation, knowing what this committee wants done? You've sat through all the meetings. What do you think is the best way to do this? I know that they're able to come through with the resolution that we've already talked about, but we're looking at approving one or the other. What is your recommendation, since you looked at this stuff all day and studied it?
My recommendation is to keep sub E in, and I'll tell you why. The reason I think that it's worthwhile to do that is the additional safeguards of going to court, and the fact that most people, when they get a court notice, and I would like to use the sheriff's department to serve these notices on people and post them on the door if they don't answer the door with personal service. I suspect that that'll get most people aware of it to go into court and make their argument to the judge and let the judge decide this.
Okay, so did I make a motion to take sub E out and you want it left in?
Yes, I believe that.
Hold on.
I believe that if you're asking that somebody come out, that's not my recommendation for the ordinance. But it's up to the body. Obviously.
So then, if we leave sub in, are we doing the REM version of what you said?
If you leave sub E in, then that just means that people that have gone through the NREM tax deed process are not going to be able to avail themselves of this remedy.
It doesn't knock them out, though.
Yes, it does.
These two.
No, it doesn't knock these two out because their property was not taken in REM.
But it knocks everybody, other people out.
It knocks anyone that was taken in REM out. That's correct.
Correct.
But they have their say in court.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Now, these two people.
So I'm going to make my motion. I'm going to make my motion to what he recommends.
So you're withdrawing your motion and doing
the other. If that's the case, that's the case.
You're taking your motion off the table.
I'm taking mine off the table. As long as we could get a resolution that could help these two people, I'm comfortable with that. And you're making a recommendation of what you would like to see going forward. So that's what I would approve.
Right. Yeah. Okay. The reason
I'll
think
second that with the rep.
So you're going to withdraw your motion then to approve the ordinance. With
yes, I am. But first, I'm going to shut my stupid phone.
So, you were who seconded that?
I'll withdraw that second.
Okay. All right. So basically the motion before you is to approve the ordinance as presented. The top one, the one that has.
He's got to know which one we signed.
So that needs to be clear in the motion.
Ah, yes.
No, I just.
Crystal clear, right? Well, they both have some each.
We're talking to two.
Let's one at a time. One at a time. The motion before the body is to approve the ordinance, which includes
with
section E.
Yep.
If I may just,
is that your motion?
Yes, it is.
And seconded.
Okay, further discussion? Further discussion? Yes.
Yes.
Just to clarify, student in governance made a good point. I mean, really, what you're saying is you want to
a lot of them.
You want to adopt the one with sub I, because the one with sub I has a provision. How about that, to be clear?
They both have
I. Correct.
I've trained you well, Padawan.
Excellent clarification.
Thank you, Martin.
Can we vote on it now?
No, we're going to talk some more.
Can you further discuss?
All the questions.
Just put it in front of me, I'll sign it. Whichever one it is.
Further discussion? All right. We have a roll call on it.
Aye. And you will bring a resolution forward.
Right. Does the committee want me to bring a resolution as to both
yes.
Mr. Simmers and Mr. Pearl?
Yes.
Okay.
And not evict them in the meantime. So.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
Good work on it, Johnson.
Thanks, John.
You're in your
just say I next time.
Yeah, I might have needed a second. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry, you're right.
Water.
Hmm? Oh, water?
It's an extra cup.
Oh, okay.
Are we taking a break?
I know where you're
looking.
It's really everybody's like,
so are you leaving?
No, my plan is
going to round out.
You need me not to?
Second break?
I don't know.
Talk to the girls then, excuse me.
Where do you park at school? Do you drive to school? Where do you park? On the east side?
All right, let's proceed with our agenda.
It's scary. I hate that person. So, yeah.
I'm like, I was afraid to back up.
Me too.
All right, let's have the update on tax incremental districts from the finance director.
You sure
this is the right one?
Tax incremental districts.
Yeah. You guys want to sign it?
I'll have
Ed sign it.
All right, give your attention to Patty here for a report.
Oh, certainly.
Tax incremental folks.
Ed. Supervisor Gantz has requested an update on tax incremental districts. Dave Gearson had given the committee an update in October 2017. So it followed basically the same format as him. You can see listed, they're all listed on the front page. It was readable, so I left it that way. It works better for today. Basically, the format is the municipality is first, so all of the Kenosha streets are listed at the top. And then we're on to Bristol, Caddick Lake, Pleasant Prairie, Salem Lake, Summers, and Vernon. The TID number, a basic description of what the TID was, when it was, what the base year was, when it was, the resolution was passed to adopt it, maximum life, if the life has been extended, the base value, the 2019 increment, and the projected closure. The city has closed a couple since 2017, very small ones. TID number one is actually planned to be closed in 2020, which is ahead of schedule. The reason for that is that they established TID 28. TID 28 is out across from Amazon, where the new U-Line buildings are. The TID is not being created for U-Line. U-Line doesn't want any TID money. But it is being created to run water out there because U-Line is building two additional buildings out there, and the water that is running out there is not sufficient to service the additional infrastructure going, or the additional buildings going in. So the city was in a unique situation that you're only allowed to have 12% of your value in TIDs, and because they were adding TID 28, which has a significant base value, that was going to push them over their 12%. So in order to be able to establish TID 28, they're closing TID 1. TID 1 had some additional debt service, so any incremental value that was in TID 1 is being moved to TID 4 to pay off the debt service in TID 1. So even though they're closing the TID, we're really not seeing any, we're seeing the benefit of the incremental value that will be part of our equalized value, but there isn't really anything else that would
happen. So they shifted it to number 4?
Yes.
Can they do that?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes, they made an amendment to the TID. Other changes, you'll note TID 10 is Wilson Heights. That TID has been extended for 3 years. That is the TID that surrounds the properties that we discussed on December 3rd. So that subdivision that will be developed by Bear Development for the 88 parcels plus what the city had. There was an existing TID there. That development had gone under. So in order to develop it and get it to fruition, they needed to extend the TID life for 3 more years because it had been stagnant for a period of time. Going down the list, you'll see Bristol has now established 2 TIDs. This is new for them. They were established in 2019. They are off of U. There are some manufacturing facilities and storage facilities being built in those 2 areas.
Chairman Rose?
Yes.
Through the chair to Patty.
Yes.
Do other municipalities have limits on TIDs or just...
All municipalities have a 12% of their equalized value.
Every municipality has it. So nobody's even close other than the city.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Thank God.
we'll get to that in a second. Paddock Lake has had 2 TIDs. They had one that was established in 2012 and one in 2017. Pleasant Prairie has 5. And the TID 2 is the oldest TID, and that one is scheduled to close. It was scheduled to close in 22, but they may extend the life by an additional year. And in order to do that, with the rules within Wisconsin, you are allowed to extend the life of your TID if you're putting in low-income housing, and they have a low-income housing development that they are proposing for that area.
Don't they have a committee to have each taxing district has to approve that?
Yes. There are joint review boards on every single one of these. I sit on that for the county, and Barna is my alternate if I can't make it. There's representation from Kenosha Unified or the other school districts. So for the city of Kenosha, it's Kenosha Unified, but like TID 28, that is on the other side of the interstate, and that is Central High School. So the representation from the taxing authority there for the school is different. It's a different joint review board. Pleasant Prairie is all, not all. There's representation from Bristol Grade School on some of their TIDs. And then there's representation from Gateway on all of the TIDs.
Do they ever get turned down?
No. The problem usually is there's representation from the county, from the school district, and from Gateway. And there's representation from the city, and potentially 2 members. There's a public member as well, which it's very difficult to not have a majority pass it. So even if I were to say no to everything, it wouldn't have an impact unless there was more than... So it really would have to be a really bad idea. Most people understand the value of them, and if the reasoning behind it is stable, then the joint review board will pass it.
And in order for it to go forward, it has to go through legal review and make sure it's checked all the boxes in order for it to go forward.
How many of these city projects were extended?
Just the ones that are listed in the like extended column.
Yeah. Rass was extended.
Patty.
Mr. Chairman. Over $200 million. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's the problem with it, is that when does it end and go on the tax roll?
Never.
Never ends.
I mean, now they've got it, 2020, 33, 30.
The typical 34. Life of the TID is about 20 years, and there are certain rules that will allow that.
Then these are going to be, 40 years?
I don't think that they allow that anymore. I think that they've tightened up the rules on what they can extend for. Like I said, low-income housing allows a certain extension. I think that they had more freedom in the past to extend the life, and they took advantage of that. But now they're establishing new TIDs, so obviously 20 years from now is still 20 years from now. But they don't have those abilities to go out for 4 years.
Is that just a majority vote on that committee?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which TID is 27?
27?
Vision project? I mean, is it an optical place or something?
If you write it to paper,
the mayor's vision project.
Vision project is
expensive glasses.
Is to knock down City Hall, build a new City Hall,
okay,
put in additional structures for parking. Actually, the new City Hall would have parking underneath for 160 vehicles. There's some green space involved in it. I don't remember all of the details, but it is a very, very extensive redevelopment.
I think the Brindisi project is there with apartments, some high-end and some mid-range apartments there. It's a big house.
In the City Hall?
Across the street from City Hall in that, in the open.
Oh.
The old Kroger.
Yes.
The lakefront, well, this is like $8 million. Where's that in here? Is that when you created the Kennedy Park and all that?
Or about the rocks and all that?
Yeah, that was a.
I'm not sure. I would have to go back to the maps, and I did not bring the maps.
But it goes down, and the other. It actually is going down to like one parcel here. In a couple of cases, so I didn't realize TIDs would do that. I'll just go to the one gas station or
those stations. Were really unique. In fact, we were involved in those because we took those gas stations on taxi.
It's good.
And the city said, take those, give them to us, we will do the remediation. Yeah. Yeah. And so those were really kind of unique.
Yeah.
And those, although they have a 20-year life, most likely will close early.
Yeah.
Because there isn't a whole lot involved in them. In fact, the one on 80th and 22nd, I believe, was even transferred.
Right.
But
someone already has that
property. Yeah.
I think Luprini.
It's a good thing that they're allowing. I didn't know they allowed just one parcel like that.
He got that station for a buck, but he's got to fix it up.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a unique arrangement. You'll notice Salem Lakes has one TID, which was the Salem Business Park. You've heard Kava talk about the Salem Business Park. Bonco is the business that is in there, but there on the last update that Brock gave, he talked about some additional items in the pipeline for that, so that may grow a little bit more. Summers had two TIDs that they created in 2015. First Park 94, which is on 142, just past Dickie Ricky's to the east where those big buildings are. And then the Summers Market Center, that does not include Walmart, but it includes the festival foods and the housing developments that are behind that. In 2018, Summers passed creating 9 additional TIDs. They have a layout, but it was very difficult for them. They don't have a purpose. I could name all these other ones because it was the Vision Project or it was the U-Line thing. Summers knew that they would be butting up against the 12% and they were going to have growth in the area. So they created 9 additional TID districts, TIDs within Summers, identifying areas that were potential development sites.
Dave did that.
And got them set up. So right now, I believe there's been some movement on TID 3, but I don't have all those details. And last summer, there were some adjustments to 4 and 5, but basically it was just to move a parcel out of 4 into 5 or out of 5 into 4. It wasn't for a development. But now the Pritzker Museum has been in the paper. That will fall within one of these TIDs. The problem is I don't know which number, so I will get more information on that throughout the year. And then Twin Lakes has one.
A further discussion, yes.
For the Bristle TID number 1, the maximum life it says is 1938. I don't know if that's just a typo.
I'm sorry, that was me.
It's going backwards.
It's going backwards. Boy, he's good.
Boy, that's good. Detail.
I like that.
Detail.
He's going to A-plus with his class.
Is there somewhere on the, I mean, we could look for this on a computer with the city or the Summers thing?
Well, I'll tell you, I was a little disappointed because, like I said, these nine and Summers,
yeah.
I wanted to get more information, like what avenues they were
mapping on. Of some
yes.
kind.
Yes. What I found nothing on their website. I found nothing on their website to tell me where they were. I found an article in the Kenosha News. Oh. So I do have, I did print that,
that makes
article
it right.
out just because, and it, the map wasn't good enough. It didn't tell me which oh, one was yeah. which. So yeah. I couldn't okay. say, okay, TID 3 is on yeah. L or yeah. it's on E
but
or
that,
whatever.
That's on Summers?
This is Summers.
Okay.
So there was something on paper there. When they were when they were doing yeah. activation.
Okay.
The municipalities planning commission, the municipality board have to adopt these as well as the joint review board. So these are always noticed in the paper. And when there's, I don't know if they always include a map in the paper. So I don't know if you find that. I do have Dave's old maps, which haven't been updated with all the new information, but if you're interested in maps, I could put something together for a future
meeting. You could knock on 1,000 doors. You could knock on 1,000 doors and 999 people, when you said, what's it did, and they wouldn't tell you. They wouldn't
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
So, in other words, what you just said, it kind of disturbs me. So, the city can run and get a low-income housing project in any of their TIDs and have them extended?
Extend by a year. They can't okay. extend it for 20 years. The state allows them to extend it for 1 year.
I just don't want to make that a habit. I don't think that's a good thing to do. I mean, when I was an alderman, I did not support any of that, and I mean, that's a problem.
If you look at what's here from TIDS, they're not going to put low-income housing in Salem Lakes in the business park. They're not going to put it by the Amazon location in Kenosha. Some of these might be conducive to low-income housing, but many of them are not. They're more for, I'm not going to use the word industrial because that's not necessarily fair, but commercial.
Yeah, I don't mind senior housing or helping people out. Low-income housing is a magnet for problems in my mind, so I don't think we should support that.
I think you're wrong.
Yeah.
It's my opinion. We weren't voting on it. I'm just telling you my opinion.
I don't agree with it. That's fine.
All right, further discussion.
That's
good information.
Thank you. That's just presented for information.
Yeah,
there's
right,
no necessity
right.
for any kind of
TIDS do serve a good purpose, too.
The audit bills, has that been served? That's done. Okay,
that's here.
All the bills are
department. Reports here.
I have a general fund year-end forecast.
Yes. All right.
I cast one out to everybody.
That's the final one.
I didn't.
No, this is well.
Well, January's got to be. Right?
January. We still will be closed. We'll do our year-end close out in April. So.
So are we going to keep going down in reserves like this?
I don't know. Yes. I don't think so, but we'll see. Yes.
I'll just keep that now. I'll keep an eye on you.
Sure?
It's very easy to follow.
It's very easy to follow, so that's what
it went from 30-point-something to 8.34.
Yeah.
Down,
right.
down about 3.4 right.
Where's
now.
Where's the 30%?
So, Ron is referencing last year.
Okay, but this is there, you gave the explanation for that.
We did. In addition,
the temperatures go up, you know, for years.
So,
right.
So that's the other piece of the
thing. Obviously, our budgets aren't adequate to provide for what we need to do.
They're adequate, but
why are the reserves keep going down?
Okay, let's pay attention first.
Why do the reserves keep going down? The point is, why do reserves keep going down? Because quite frankly, we don't budget enough to support our budget.
I would say, first of all, I mean, Barna will present the report, but we are adding to the general fund. There was money, the surpluses are more than the deficits. There is a positive there. Certain areas like sales tax growth has continued to be a growth. But no different than I talked about before, the things that really were building up the general fund were things that we didn't purposely control, collecting on the delinquent taxes.
One time thing.
It was a concerted effort, but we didn't do it to increase the general fund. We did it to bring our delinquent taxes in line.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it isn't that any of this was pre-planned or planned out. There were years that our sales tax revenue skyrocketed that was not anticipated when the budget was put together. So there would be a huge surplus. There was legislation passed late in 2018 that taxed internet sales. That's a benefit to us, mm-hmm. because now any time a Kenosha County resident buys something online, and that doesn't include Amazon, because Amazon was located here. So if a Kenosha County resident bought from Amazon, they were already getting charged Kenosha County sales tax.
Got charged.
But if you buy from somewhere else, from Nevada, you're going to get charged sales tax because it's an internet purchase. So our sales tax revenue has seen it a bump up during 2019 due to that legislation.
State will get an increase.
State gets an increase as well, that's true. Yeah. We get 0.5%, they get 5%.
That's right.
Wow. I see how that works.
But, so some of those factors, as I said when Mr. Arbit was speaking, some of those factors, bids are coming in over. We're not seeing huge surpluses in areas. I remember, again, 2015, when we did closeout, we had surpluses all over the place. General fund looked great. And you know why? Because when the budgets were put together for 15, gas prices were $3.50 a gallon. And during that year, they dropped.
Yeah.
So heating buildings, putting gas in squad cars, putting gas in highway vehicles, there were surpluses all over the place, and board members were saying, you over-budgeted.
Mm-hmm.
No, we didn't over-budget. It turned out to be over-budgeted, but it wasn't anticipated to be over-budgeted. So if I had a crystal ball and we could be just right on spot, we would do that. We'd do the best that we can. And we increased sales tax in the budget for 2020 considerably because of this number that you see right here. It was a higher surplus than we expected. We felt comfortable bringing it up. Our trends showed that we could do that. But I don't think that we're going to see anything else adding to that. We'll be break even or a little bit higher. Tax delinquencies will be pretty close to non-existent.
Better be conservative.
Yeah.
Well, hard times are coming.
Yeah.
So if you bonded this $300,000, for example, and the highway department shows a surplus, could you pay that $300,000 bonding off early?
No, we could not, because...
Aren't they callable bonds?
Yes, but not the ones that we just issued. So when we issue them, I believe Ellers told us just recently that there's like 8 years before they're callable. So... could we exercise something at that point?
Oh, yeah.
Perhaps, but not immediately. When we issue the bond, we can't pay it off in the next year.
So that's by law or just by policy?
That's by the way the structure of the bond.
That's by the structure of the bond.
It's possible to do it.
I don't know if it is possible, and I also think that might be a deterrent to buyers. They want to know that they have some
guaranteed income. The availability is
right. There's got to be a backdoor penalty if we did it.
Right. So that'll be lose money in the penalty. So this report shows the changes that were from November to January. So we got 2 months of activity in there. Overall, there's a drop of about $295,000 based on the overall adding. It's still adding to the general fund of over $1.5 million, putting our projected general fund balance to just short of $20 million. The things, material, items that had material changes were human services surplus projection was dropping from 475 to 350. The workers' compensation insurance surplus improved from 75 to 250. The sheriff's department overall projected surplus in their department went from 150 to 275. So that improved. And then on the negative side,
the health insurance deficit increase from $400,000 to $800,000. But as you see, overall, we're still well in the 28% range compared to our general fund expenditure, so we're still in a very good position. Like I said, we'll have another two or three more months, and we'll be closing out the year in April once we get all the year-end final. We still have a couple months of sales tax coming in, and we're still getting some final bills and some of the insurances, some of the actuarial calculations still have to be done, but within the next few months, this number will start getting pretty close to final.
All right, discussion on this? No action is required, but
nope.
If you have any discussion or questions, this is time. All right, seeing none, then are there any other reports? Nothing? All right. Any other business to come before the committee?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. A